Well, hello, everybody. This is Rick Cogan with an abbreviated after hours, but one that will satisfy you because I'm talking, going to talk to my old friend, Matt Pays, who for a decade or maybe a little more was one of the bright bylines in the Tribune in the Red Eye section. Matt, how are you? Matt?
Hello, Rick.
Hey, how are you? Did you hear that nice introduction? One of the bright bylines in the Tribune. This book, I've been trying to have Matt on, but my schedule, as you know, regular listeners, has been sort of chaotic with sports going on. This book did not, on the face of it, Matt, I must be honest with you, it didn't intrigue me. First of all, I didn't know who Zach Morris was. I didn't know. I said, oh, Saved by the Bell. I once saw like 3 minutes of that in some kind of rerun. But ever since, I have been with my girlfriend, who is considerably younger than I, and people at the station who are considerably younger than I, they're going, oh, my. Brett, who's filling in for Krista as the engineer, he goes, oh, my girlfriend's nuts about that show. You have got to explain. You were obviously of that era when this show was a hot commodity on television. And you make a couple of really interesting. You say that your wife thought it was a outrageous idea when you brought it to her. But this show, I was fascinated with this book, and that's something to say without ever having watched one full episode. What is with this show, Matt? Tell someone out there who has never seen it, who doesn't know what it is, how it had such it seems to have. I'm going to read one thing you wrote in here. On a more personal level, to name only one example, I'm very aware of how an episode, Drinking and Driving, in which the gang had one beer and felt horrible the next morning, temporarily, impacted my perception of drinking. Obviously, the show was a big influence on your life if you devote the kind of time to put together this Zach Morris slide 329 times. What was it about the show? What zeitgeist did it hit? What was it about this show? Because you take me into every single episode of the show. Some sound very amusing to me. But it had to be something more than that, wasn't it?
Well, I so appreciate your curiosity, Rick. I was wondering how familiar you would be. You're a very knowledgeable person, so I was definitely.
Yeah, but I will ever admit to holes in my knowledge. I mean, because that's otherwise, how are you going to learn anything? If I say, well, I don't know what this is, so I'm not going to read the book and I'm not going to interview Matt. That doesn't matter to me. I'm intrigued. I'm terribly intrigued. But tell me.
I love that perspective. Absolutely. Well, I think anyone can think of something that they encountered during their childhood that really struck a chord.
Sure.
And maybe just because it was the right thing at the right time. So when I think of watching TV in the early to mid-90s, Saved by the Bell was just sort of always on, whether it was Saturday morning or in reruns after school. It's just the show that people who grew up at a certain time, it's just sort of universally known, and the degree to which it has maintained its relevance 25 years after the original series ended, even more than that, is just remarkable. So I wanted to, once I got the idea to use numbers to gain a deeper understanding of the show, to
sure.
count Zach's lies, to track his treatment of women and the show's treatment of Jesse, who was the series' lone feminist voice. I really was excited to celebrate the show and this thing that I knew so well and remembered so well, but try to take it to a level even beyond the popular and excellent Zach Morris's Trash series, which on Funny or Die, which really, I think, kicked off the big reexamination of still enjoying the show, but recognizing, hey, what's up with this thing that is so beloved but has a character at the center?
What did you learn
in
deeply researching and crunching the numbers and indeed interviewing a number of participants? Did you have any other revelation? I know what you went into this trying to do, and I think you've done it, but what kind of revelation did you have? It seems to have, among many things, to have sprouted in contemporary entertainers like Jimmy Fallon and contemporary shows such as, you know, the Brooklyn Nine-Nine. And it echoes, does it not, in contemporary pop culture?
Absolutely. I think that's one of the most startling things about the show's longevity,
yeah.
which is that in conducting a lot of the interviews that I did, so many people involved with the show didn't think anyone would watch it at the time, had no notion of it lasting a year or so, much less 30 years down the line, people would still be talking about it.
Exactly.
It was sort of in danger of being canceled the whole time. But in returning to the entire series as an adult for the book, I definitely found that some of the good parts became better, and the things that were bad really became terrible. And sometimes it was just a matter of growing up. I mean, when I originally watched the college years, I found that entertaining, and I was several years before college when that was on, so I had no concept of anything about what college was really like, and I just was excited to see the characters again. But now, to return to that single season where they brought the characters from Saturday morning to primetime and put them in college, now I was able to use numbers to show this was the most dishonest Zach was throughout the entire series. It was the worst he treated women, the point at which he might have evolved so much. He was actually the worst, and it was so fun to even be able to look at this now as a point of conversation. So
sure.
we can look at some of the best episodes or funny lines and celebrate them and the other aspects, because this show is clearly not going away. It was rebooted on Peacock last year, and the reboot has already been renewed for a second season. And I'm glad about that. I think the reboot is really good and modernized the series in a great way.
It must have been. You know, I know you have a family, and I know you have a long-suffering wife who had to sit with you when you went through and watched these things again and said, hey, honey, you won't believe what happened here. But I think the way in which you've done it is very Cajun. You don't beat every episode to death. I mean, each one is covered in, you know, roughly a page, maybe a page and a little more. And I get from them the gist of what the show's about and what, you know, one thing, great advice. Zach is one of the great characters I've ever encountered. But this show started, I think it's fascinating. I did some research, too, that it began as a show called Good Morning, Miss Bliss in 1988. The brainchild of Brandon Tartikoff, the legendary head of NBC programming, right?
Yeah, and certainly the idea that three students and their principal would all move from Indiana to California in between junior high and high school is one of many bumps in continuity that the show asks viewers to be forgiving of. And part of I would argue that part of the show's ability to last all this time probably exists within its refusal to have much continuity at
sure,
all.
Sure.
It was on at a time when sitcoms didn't want people to have to know everything that had happened previously, especially for young audiences.
Yeah, good point.
So the fact that you could just sort of
wing it
in for an episode and not have to keep up with a whole lot of ongoing storylines the way that it would exist now,
yeah.
I think has allowed people to have sort of a casual relationship with it, no matter how much people consider it a beloved part of their childhood. I suspect that they don't have the sort of deep emotional connection to it that they might sort of like a series like Boy Meets World, where we really grew up with the characters in a different way, but that hasn't stopped people from continuing the conversation about the original Saved by the Bell series.
Well, but the thing, what you've done here, Matt Pays, is make a very interesting cultural dig, and I think an important one. And you were sort of surprised that no one had done this before you, weren't you?
I was, because there are so many books out there about popular shows,
sure.
and Saved by the Bell is one of the most popular shows of that era, so I was excited to try to do a project that would both be a deep dive for people who knew the show really well and could then take their perspective
and a cultural curiosity. Well, and also it becomes a cultural curiosity for someone like me. You know what I mean? It really does. I mean, I know the name of the show. I think I know a couple of the actors. I was once, as a child, in love with Haley Mills, who was in that sort of what you might call a pilot, but then she was old and she was a teacher, for Christ's sake. We got to take a little break. We're going to come back and devote this entire show to Matt Bays on this fascinating book. Zach Morris's name is bigger than yours on the cover. Zach Morris lied 329 times, reassessing every ridiculous episode of Saved by the Bell with stats. The author is my old pal from the Tribune, from the newspaper business, Matt Bays, who's gone on to bigger and better things. I had him on when he came out with This Won't Take Long, 100 very short stories of dangerous relationships, impaired presidents, frustrating jobs, and more. That was, I think, a couple years ago. But time bleeds for me now, Matt. Time bleeds for me. We'll be back in a couple minutes. Welcome back. I'm continuing on with my old friend Matt Pays. Is Matt, this your second book?
It is, yeah. I so enjoyed our conversation about the previous one as well, Rick.
Yeah, so did I.
I'm someone who just likes ridiculous writing projects to challenge myself, so it's awesome to get to.
Well, this is one. When did you decide in the progression of this book to attempt to interview as many people? You've interviewed more than 20 people who were involved in the show, right?
That's right. So, and it was actually towards the end because I had finished. I wanted to watch the entire series and work through all the numbers first.
Sure.
But then I just said, hey, let's see who I can get in touch with. And I think something that really shows how much people connect with a series like this is that even characters that were only from one episode, I knew that talking to the people who played Nurse Jennifer, Johnny Dakota, Rod Belding, if you didn't watch Saved by the Bell, that won't mean anything to you. But for people who watch the show, names like that, even though they were just here in one episode and then gone, they made such an impact. So I was excited that once I started reaching out to people, I was able to speak to as many folks as I did and cover my tracks from the junior high episodes to high school to college, as well as the two TV movies that they made as well.
Well, I found the interviews fascinating, none more so than the one with Edward Blatchford, who played Rod Belding in the fabulous Belding Boys. I knew Ed. Ed was an actor of some note here many, many, many years ago. And his interview is pretty funny and lively. You say to him, as I mentioned, the book is a statistical analysis of Zach Morris's behavior. And Ed says, I think this is funny, but I can't remember. What bad stuff did Zach do? I can't remember anything. And then later on, at the end of his interview, you say, with Last of the Mohicans following your Saved by the Bell episode by a couple of years, any chance you have a memory story of talking about Rod Belding? This is a great question, Matt. Talking about Rod Belding with Daniel Day-Lewis. Do you think playing Rod Belding was helpful to you at all in landing and or playing the Mohicans role? And Ed answers, Daniel Day-Lewis is a huge fan of Saved by the Bell. In fact, he didn't leave me alone until I made him a paper airplane. That is a that is a great exchange. It goes a little, I think, to your ability as an interviewer, too, because many of these people, many of whom I've never heard of, you draw them out and you ask questions. The questions come from a real place of playful knowledge is what I'm going to call it. A real place of playful knowledge. Did anybody turn you down for an interview?
Well, those kind words mean a lot, Rick.
Thanks.
You so much.
Sure. I mean
yeah, I reached out to as many people as I could, so I knew that I had to play the percentages. So I was just incredibly thrilled for how many people were able to connect. And like you said, I wanted to try to capture some memories from people who were there at the time and sort of how it felt to make the show, but
yeah,
also bring it into the modern day, and whether it was someone who was just on for an episode or someone like Ed Alonzo, who played Max, who was in the opening credits of that first high school season and really was the sort of most visible person of the people that I spoke with, to try to get some type of honest analysis of what the character of Zach Morris represented and what lessons the show was or wasn't going for. Because even though most of the time it was, I think to its credit, was not really going for the after school special type thing. It was just trying to have fun. For young viewers, when you're watching something, I remember watching the episode where there are subliminal messages put into a pop song. And at that age, I'm like, oh, I guess that's something that happens all the time. Sure. But 10 years later, you realize that doesn't quite happen as much as the show might suggest.
Is your wife a big fan of this show?
She
not ni- is a no, fan. The line for you to say now is, not anymore, she's not. But
she remembered watching a lot growing up and is a fan and was just so incredibly supportive of this project. So I'm so thankful to her for all her support throughout this process, because it is an absurd idea to count the number of times Zach Morris lied.
Yeah.
Goofy, but I'm so happy that it really came to fruition in the way that the numbers, I think, tell the story of the relationships in a way that people maybe don't appreciate. Because with a show like this, you want to believe that the central relationship is automatically the best one, and so forth. But then when you look at the numbers and take a deeper look and see that Zach never had anything kind to say to Kelly besides for a comment about her appearance, and that in a little mini season at the Malibu Sands Beach Club, she was far, far more honest with Stacey Carosi, played by Leah Remini, than he ever was with Kelly. And it doesn't necessarily mean he should have wound up with Stacey, although I think you could certainly make an argument about that. But it was great fun to return to the show this way and then to connect with the people involved in it to take it even farther.
Well, in many ways, you also connect to today. You make the case that you know, moments and threads of Saved by the Bell have worked themselves into, you know, various shows from, you know, you say on the back cover, from Arrested Development to Friends. And it just shows the arc kind of culture and the influence. You've got to believe that staff writers for both of those shows might have been, and whether they're translating the things they saw and remember from Saved by the Bell into their current work. It's a real fascinating kind of cultural deep dive, Matt Paze. And I got to tell you, I looked at it when you sent it to me a couple months ago and thought, okay, I don't know anything about this, but you know, I don't know anything about whaling either. And I read Moby Dick and loved that many years ago and reread it about a year ago. That's what reading should be about, ladies and gentlemen. Should not be diving into something you know really well. You should learn something. And I learned a great deal. I think in many ways, Matt, it's a very thought-provoking book, too, about pop culture. It's a credit to you, the way in which you've done it. You've done it in a very, you know, digestible, appealing way. You must have heard, in the minute or so we have left, from fans of the show who have told you, oh, my God, I've been waiting for something like this. Have you?
Certainly, yeah. It's been fantastic to hear from fans, who people saying, oh, I watch an episode and then I refer to the book.
Because
it's fun to be a companion for people who know the show well, or even if they're just finally discovering it to see what all the fuss is about. But I will definitely take that from you, Rick. I would like to consider Zach Morris lied 329 times the Moby Dick by the Bell statistical analysis.
Yeah, that'll work as a that'll work as a jacket quote. Matt, it's always fun to talk to you. I know you're probably working on another book in addition to your regular job, and I can't wait to have you on and talk about that. You're always a very creative young guy, and you've stayed that way, which is hard to do in this day and age. I hope you and your family are safe and well, and I hope you are working on another book.
I may or may not have another idea for something, Rick, and oh, I can't.
You know, man, I don't know you.
You again.
I don't know you that well, but I'll bet you $1 million you have another idea for a book. It's great to talk to you.
Appreciate your time, Rick. All the best to you.
My pleasure. You too. You too, pal. Take care. Again, the book is Zach Morris Lied 329 Times. Reassessing Every Ridiculous Episode of Saved by the Bell with Stats. The author is Matt Pays, M-A-T-T, last name P-A-I-S. I am Rick Kogan. Stay warm, stay healthy, and stay safe. See you next week.